everybody. Welcome to Unscripted Unlimited on the Everything Unscripted Network. This is our definitive second show. We're going to be talking about the premiere, the Big Brother 23. We're going to be talking about a very special character spotlight that we'll get into. We're going to be talking about some comics and cartoons. We're going to be getting into it. But first, Doug with the plugs.
All right. You got to make sure you listen to Boxman and Smirk, the Dirt Sheet Dudes, every Wednesday or Friday night. Mixer.com/Dirt Sheet Dudes. They can be found on all your major podcast platforms. Usually around 10:15, 10:20-ish Eastern time, right after wrestling's over. Listen to us, 6:30 p.m. Eastern time every Friday night. blogtalkradio.com/everythingunscripted for the Unscripted Wrestling Podcast. This upcoming Friday night is going to be a special one. We are going to be counting down the top 10 greatest superstars to never be WWF/WWE champion. I got a poll up right now in facebook.com/group/oldschoolwrestling where you're basically, you have 18 options. We were able to narrow it down to 18 after all the fan voting, and I got lists from people. So we narrowed it down to, well, I was only going to narrow it down to 15, but then I got yelled at, so I narrowed it down to 18.
Who'd you get yelled at?
One of the people in the old school group, he didn't agree with one of the people I put on there, so he's like, you should put these three. So I did. I still left the one guy in there that he didn't want, but...
Good.
So there's 18 options in there. You can vote up to 10 times. We are actually eligible to vote since we're not doing a list. Because Friday night's show is just, we're basically just going to go over the fan vote. We don't have to come up with our own list, which we're basically doing for time constraints, because every time we do a top 10 show and Kenny Lehman happens to join us, we're lucky if we can get off the air with about 10 seconds to spare. So, and I don't feel like costing you another $20 a month for Block Talk. So go on there. If you see the poll on facebook.com/group/oldschoolwrestling, you can vote up to 10 times. I know I still have to put in my picks. I think, Daniel, I think you can put in yours. I know Eric already did. Eric does his as soon as I tag him and shit. But, and then the big reveal will be Friday night. The poll will stay up until Thursday. Also, check us out here on this broadcast. Saturday's time usually varies. But of course, this is Unscripted Unlimited, so you know we're going to talk all the nerd stuff and all pop culture and stuff.
It's a lot more than that. The Unscripted Unlimited is brand new. I mean, it's everything. I mean, the UFC stuff's going to be on here now, and Eric's going to be joining us more, which is lovely.
Yeah,
we love Eric. We're going to be doing Settle It in the Ring here sometimes. We're going to be doing a bunch of shit.
So this is our main secondary show.
Yes.
Also, tomorrow, 3 p.m. Eastern time, here on the same channel, you and Mindy with the Scaredy Cats, and it's Jeepers Creepers 2, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Want to get a couple other things out there. July 30th for the Unscripted Wrestling Podcast, we're going to do a special tribute to the Patriot Del Wilkes. We got some special guests that are going to be on. Don't know which hosts are going to be on yet, except for I know I'm going to be one of them. And also, September 18th in Merchantville, New Jersey, Daniel and I and our sister Mindy and we're hoping Eric, I mean, that is a plan right now for Eric to join us. We'll be there for the Merchantville Toy Fair, and we're going to be vending. We may have some podcast stuff lined up yet. I don't know. I got to clear it with the guy. But, you know, it's going to be a fun time. We're going to be out there selling toys.
And while we're on that subject, what is our toy spotlight, Doug?
Our toy spotlight is actually going to be the Mighty Ducks, the animated series action figures.
Yeah.
As you can see, I have them right here. Well, I have five of them, but I brought four down because I actually have two of the same one.
Yeah.
So, and I brought down the nicer one of the two. So basically, for anybody that doesn't know, and we're going to do it as a cartoon spotlight, you know, soon. Mighty Ducks, the animated series, was a cartoon that was developed in 1996. It was part of Disney's One Saturday Morning, which, I don't know, well, you kind of remember that, right? Because that's like that was like when Disney and ABC kind of merged.
Yeah, I remember that.
And they used it to, like, they had some original programs, but they also used it to kind of promote, you know, Disney's programming.
Yeah.
And Mighty Ducks was one of their highly touted series because they were coming off the success of the Mighty Ducks movie.
Yeah.
And the Mighty Ducks not only got the movie, but they actually, the hockey team was technically formed.
Right.
The Anaheim Mighty Ducks. Because Disney owned the rights to all that. The problem is that the cartoon, like, the movie is a bunch of kids playing hockey. The cartoon is actually ducks from another planet. which we'll get into that more when we do a cartoon spotlight. But the toys here. So even though the show only lasted like 26 episodes,
Jim Belushi was in it too.
Yeah. Jim Belushi voiced one of the characters. I think, I got to look it up, but I think Brad Garrett was one of the characters too.
One of the ducks?
One of the ducks, yeah.
Okay.
But you see, they don't see, but you see it because you're looking right at it. So you had your characters. You had Duke LaRange, Nosedive, Wild Wing, Grin, you know, as part of the series. I got Duke LaRange. I've got Mallory. You get her as a figure. Also, Evil Lord Duragnus, who was the bad guy.
Right.
I'm pretty sure there were more characters you could get figures of, but, like, for a show that didn't last so long, they had, like, a shitload of series and a shitload of figures.
Right.
Let's see. I also got Nosedive. I got Grin. Some of these cards, like, there is some creasing on some of these cards, but they're still actually worth, they could be worth quite a bit.
How much?
Pakazuka
Grin.
Yeah.
This is badass.
Yeah. The problem with this figure is that there's a little bit of creasing up top, but I can more than likely still get, probably at the fair, I'm probably going to ask about 40, 45 for it.
That's sweet.
But yeah, no, these are cool figures. And like, they're also part of a kind of like, they're basically, they're nostalgic in the fact that like the Mighty Ducks, there's a lot of like very, it's a very like niche, like collecting unit.
Right.
You know, we talked about it with James Bond Jr. a couple of weeks ago. Even though it wasn't, James Bond Jr. may not have been the greatest cartoon, even though it lasted more episodes than this, you can still see those figures all over the place.
Yes.
And, like, James Bond Jr., it's funny, I actually bought three more James Bond Jr. figures. Sorry.
It's okay.
Last weekend when I was in Buffalo. And you were stuck at home on the toilet. But yeah, no, Mighty Ducks, I like these, and you know, I'm going to try to get more because I want to try to have like a whole set for us to sell it at the toy fair.
Yeah.
Because, you know, people do like to collect whole sets.
They do.
And, you know, they're very cool looking figures. Again, you know, I got to try to protect the packaging.
Yeah.
Even though, you know, we could probably get good money for loose, but, you know, you want to keep them in the package.
We'll keep them in the package.
Yeah. Well, I got to keep the package protected. I have a hard enough time keeping my package protected.
That's funny. All right, let's move on. That was a nice toy spotlight. You gotta love them ducks.
Yeah.
Big Brother 23, Dutchie. we're starting off pretty crazy here. One thing I can promise you every week you're going to see on the Unlimited Show is we're going to be covering this season of Big Brother. We're going to be talking about 19 today, too, a little bit, briefly, but we're going to cover 23 every week. Right now we got the Jokers, the Aces, the Kings, and the Queens. We got four groups going at it. Frenchie's the leader of the Jokers. Whitney's the leader of the Aces. Christian is the leader of the Kings. And we got Claire on the Queens.
And what's funny is that Claire wasn't even supposed to be part of this show. As a matter of fact, we didn't find out until, I think it was, Sunday or Monday when she was announced.
Yeah, because the ball lady was going to, right?
Yeah, Christina, I think her name was, right?
Yeah.
But she contracted COVID while in quarantine. So.
That's not good.
Yeah. So they replaced her with Claire. And I like how, like, with the teams. Now, I don't know how long. I think the teams are only lasting, like, 4 weeks or something like that, right?
Probably. The gimmicks like that, the twists usually last about a week, about 4 or 5 weeks.
Right. And, you know, you got, you know, people from all parts of the states.
Yeah.
Of the good old U.S. of A. I mean, you got from Florida, from Baltimore, Rhode Island, Niagara Falls, New York, which is kind of our, you know.
Well, yeah, I just got to say, Brittany D'Angelo, hometown hero from Niagara Falls, kindergarten teacher, black belt, and I think, was it Taekwondo?
Yeah.
Also, you know, autistic. It's just great what she's doing. It's you know, fighting, you know, for her community, just everything that she's doing. She's a strong lady. She's a badass. I can't wait to see her compete more. She really wants
and
it.
And she's not going home this week, by the way, because they are Frenchie, you know, her team captain, which I got to say, Frenchie's got himself a hell of a team.
She does.
Because he's got Brittany. He's got Kevin on there. Or not Kevin, Derek. The big guy from the Falls, Smoking Joe Frazier's son.
Yeah, he's from Philly, though, not the Falls. But, yeah. Smoking Joe Frazier's son.
Yeah. And then who's the fourth team member? It's the girl who's got 158 cousins or something like that, right?
Azah.
Yeah. And because her father was, like, one of 47 children.
Yes. Big family.
Yeah. God, I would hate to be part of Thanksgiving in that house.
I mean, Derek's an interesting one. Derek's are, obviously, but Derek Frazier particularly, because we haven't seen, as a bigger man myself, we haven't seen a lot of us big boys, you know, really make it and kill it in the Big Brother house. The only one I can really think of is Celebrity Big Brother and Ross Matthews and what's her name?
Marissa Gerwin Olker.
Yeah.
Well, that's because they stuck together.
Yeah. But, and they did very well. Now, so we'll see what Derek can do. I don't know how he is as a competitor. We'll see his social game. He seems like a nice guy. A lot of other people
and
I really haven't seen too much of, so.
And the oldest person in this house is just Tiffany. The fellow lobotomist or something like that, or we thought she was a lobotomy
no,
office.
No, it's a phlebotomist.
Okay.
They draw blood.
It should just say blood drawer.
This is why Brittany is your pick.
Yeah.
Derek's my pick. Who's Sharon's pick? I forgot. Who was Eric's pick?
Eric's pick is Claire.
Claire. I got to say, Frenchie's probably going to be a favorite, too. He seems dope.
And you know what's funny is the fact that he decided, because Julie made him the offer, it's like, okay, if you play this game and win, you get 2 weeks to safety. If not, then you don't have the HOH. And, like, I didn't understand it at the time. He's like, I miss my family, so I'm keeping the HOH. But then it dawned on me. It's like, oh, yeah, he gets a letter from home.
Yeah.
So he made the smart safe move.
Yeah. Especially because he only got the dice with a second left.
Yeah.
So, It'll be fun. I can't wait to see what's in store for us. It is going to be interesting for sure.
I mean, I'm
going
to tell you right now, like, if I were Frenchie, like, because he gets to decide who goes up on the block, right? Now, again, the teams get to play the wild card position or the wild card competition. And then the winner of the team, like, the winner guarantees safety for their team or whatever, right?
Yeah.
But it comes with a twist. If I were Frenchie, I'd put up – now, again, you know, they don't know that this Xavier is a lawyer.
Right.
But I'd get rid of the lawyer right away. And I would also get rid – I would actually also get rid of that what we say her name was, Tiffany, the blood drawer.
Yeah. I don't like Brett Champagne either, the flight attendant.
That dude seems like a tool.
Yeah. I mean
– I want him out. But we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
I can't wait to keep visiting it every week. New episode on Sunday. All right, Dutchie, our cartoon spotlight.
A pup named Skibidoo. And...
Talk about it.
Okay. So, August, or, you know... September 88 through August of 91 ran for 4 seasons, but it only had, what, like 30-something episodes, I think, or whatever?
Yeah.
Okay. But it was – Scooby-Doo was such a popular franchise, you know, starting in the 60s and then in the 70s, and this was a newer version of it. But also, too, you got to remember, there was a time, too, where you had Muppet Babies.
Yeah.
Which is basically what it means now is it's the same cast, but they're kids.
Yeah, the babyfication.
Yeah.
How do you feel about the babyfication of popular cartoons?
Some of them were great. Like, I enjoyed the Muppet Babies when I was – I liked this show.
I liked this show,
I mean, Tom and Jerry Kids was kind of cool, too. Like, I really liked that show, mainly because it had a really good theme song. The only one I couldn't really get behind, even though I did – I love the original cartoons. I couldn't get behind Flintstones Kids.
Yeah, you didn't like that?
It was stupid because you're used to, you know, Fred and Wilma, you know, being married and all that. And, I mean, you can't be married when you're in the first grade.
No.
I mean, it'd be weird.
It'd be very weird.
But, no, this show – and what's funny is that, like, this show – I mean, Velma's always going to be the brainiac. Scooby and Shaggy are, you know, we're always the scaredy cats or whatever. No pun intended for your show. Daphne here, like, they really made Daphne into, like, that drama queen and all that for this show. And what a dumb fuck Fred is. I mean, he is the biggest dumb fuck in the history of dumb fucks on this show. And every episode saying, I bet you it's Red Herring who was the bully that would pick on him.
Yeah.
And we wouldn't hear from him all episode, but he's like, I bet you it's Red Herring. And Red Herring would be like, and sometimes would come out and be like, you know, I wasn't even part of this episode.
Yeah, Fred and Daphne was the ones that were kind of changed more.
Yeah.
Because he was a douche. She was kind of ditzy.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it was fun to watch. I mean, for little kids, you know, I mean, I loved it as a kid.
Yeah. No, I did too. I was telling you a story earlier on. Because this used to be on, I used to watch this all the time on Cartoon Network. Back when Cartoon Network didn't suck. And they didn't try to make Cartoon Network into something for adults.
Yeah.
And this show would always be on. And I remember one time I was in high school and we had a day off or something. And I went over to a girl's house and she happened to be my girlfriend at the time.
Hey!
And, So I went over there. And she was in the kitchen doing something, right? She goes, put on whatever you want. And she goes, here's a remote. So I put on a pup named Scooby-Doo.
Did she get ass that night?
No. I was only like 14. But yeah, not well, and it was actually during the day too. So it was like 9 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, that's a good time to watch cartoons. So.
Yeah. So and I walked in and she's just like, seriously, you want to watch cartoons? And I'm like, yeah.
Funny.
Yeah.
I like cartoons.
Yeah. I mean, I'll always put on it. I had friends over, you know, last month and we're playing board games and I put on Mighty Ducks and then I put on Yogi Bear.
It's crazy to me because I remember this cartoon a lot playing as a kid, even though this was like before my generation. But I remember a pup named Scooby-Doo being on a lot when I was younger.
Yeah, because it was still then, you know, you were born in 97, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
This ended in 91.
Right. But like back then in 97 and up until like, let's say about 2004, 2005, they relied heavily on older cartoons to sell the network.
Yeah.
Okay. But then, like, you know, in, like, the summers of, like, 96, 97, you had Dexter's Laboratory, you had Cow and Chicken, Powerpuff Girls. Then later on in the early 2000s, you would get Codename Kids Next Door and Ed and Eddie and Courage the Cowardly Dog. And they would, you know... They helped the network, you know, gain. And of course, Johnny Bravo, too, but he's a moron. But they would help the network gain, like, popularity because
right.
they resonated with kids your age. But Pup Named Scooby-Doo, it was all – I always kind of felt like from, like, the time that the network really started – and, again, like – I remember it being a network in, like, 96, 97. It may have started earlier than that.
Well, Cartoon Network?
Yeah. But, like, it was always in the morning and afternoon, all the older cartoons would play. And then from, like, 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock on, that's when, or 7 or 8 at night, that's when the new stuff, the Cartoon Network originals would play.
Right.
So you would always have Looney Tunes and Scooby-Doo and Flintstones and Jetsons, among other cartoons. You know, even like the old Super Friends.
Yes. That's Hanna-Barbera too, right?
I think so, yeah. And, you would have all them play like in the morning and in the afternoon and then other, you know, like I said, also other shows, Looney Tunes would be on, Tom and Jerry Kids. At one point there was actually like a block to where it would be Flintstone Kids, then Pup Named Scooby-Doo, and then Tom and Jerry Kids. And I remember I hated going outside during, like, you know, as a younger kid, like I didn't mind going outside and like swimming in the pool and all that and swimming in the pool and playing, you know, in the backyard and all that. But then when I found out Cartoon Network was a thing, I would have much rather just sat inside and watched cartoons.
Yeah.
But, yeah, Pup Named Scooby-Doo, that's one of the ones that, and it's stupid that, like, you know, you see all the other Scooby-Doo stuff on, like, HBO Max.
Yeah.
And this isn't on there. Like, yeah. You have to fucking buy something on Amazon Prime or whatever the hell.
Boomerang.
Yeah. Which, Amazon Prime sucks. Like, you subscribe to the service, but yet you have to pay an extra $50 to get a bunch of shit.
Yeah. I mean, I don't, I'm only subscribed because I have Amazon Prime, though, but, yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, that helps when you get, like, your packages and shit.
Yes. But the video is fried butt cheeks. I agree. Yeah, this is a great show. Check it out.
Yeah, I mean, definitely. Probably not the best Scooby-Doo show, but...
No, but it was a fun little babyfication of it.
Yeah, and Scooby-Doo, again, is probably one of the better cartoon franchises.
And it's actually the last show in the series where Don Messick, who was a longtime portrayer of Scooby-Doo, he died in 97. This is the last show he did.
Right, yeah, because Scooby-Doo actually, like, started making a comeback. They started making more updated versions of the movies in, like, 98, I think it was.
Yeah.
Because you had Zombie Island, Cyber Chase, Alien Invaders, I think, was another one.
Cyber Chase was Litty Bop.
Oh, I love Cyber Chase. Remember the video game?
Yeah. I love that, too.
Yeah.
It's good shit.
And trust me, we will be talking about more Scooby stuff in the future.
Yes, we will get Scoobed later. All right. We'll do Big Brother 19 another time with Eric.
Okay.
This is going to be a quickie. I got to go to the movies. Going to see Black Widow tonight, so that's going to be a big deal.
Yeah, it's probably, I mean, and now the fact that you can go back to the movie theater.
I'm excited.
Yeah. I'm just glad you ordered the tickets. I mean, I'm not going, but.
Tickets and I'm excited.
Yeah. Get that movie theater popcorn.
Oh, I can't fucking wait. It's been a long time.
Yeah.
I can't wait for the movie. It's going to further the MCU, and I'll be talking about it next week.
Cool.
All right. Time for our comic book spotlight. Harbinger. We're going back to the Valiant universe. It's very exciting, right, Doug?
Yeah. Valiant, it seems like they put out...
good shit?
Yeah, good shit.
they do.
I would almost say, I'm not really a comic book reader, but just like the way you talk about it, it almost seems like that they do a better job than Marvel. I don't think they would do a better job because I think DC has the better superheroes.
Yeah. I enjoy their stories more than Marvel comics, but, I mean, I love Marvel movies.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I love some Marvel stories too, but, I've totally immersed myself into this franchise. I hope they make movies off it. Harbinger is phenomenal. To break it down real quick, we're only talking about issue 1 through 5, Omega Rising. That's volume 1 of Harbinger.
Kenny Omega?
No, fuck that pussy. Omega Rising. So it follows this kid Peter. Peter is what they call a Psyot. But Psyots have this all kinds of different powers. It's like their version of kind of mutants, like X-Men. This is Harbinger is like Valiant's X-Men.
Okay.
But it's way better. He's on the run, and this Asian guy, Toyo Harada, who is another side, he's one of the most powerful on Earth. He's got a whole team. And basically these Psyots, they have telekinesis, mind control, telepathy. Peter is also known as Sting later on. I don't think he becomes Sting in the first 5 issues. But he is a really interesting hero. What's great about Valiant Heroes and what's different from a lot of other people and a lot of other comics is that they're morally ambiguous. So there's no definitive like baby face or heel or good
right.
guy or bad guy. Like Peter's got his problems. At the beginning of the book, he uses his powers because he's got this girl he fell in love with from back in the day, but she hates him. And he uses his powers to make her fall in love with him, even though it's a shitty thing to do. And then, you know, she finds out later and she's fucking pissed. But and he kind of grows from that and learns and realizes that he made a terrible mistake. But I like that it's not like definitive. Like Superman's not a dick, you know. Superman's
right.
a good guy.
Right.
Superman's not going to make a chick fall in love with him that's not in love with him. So
what Superman has to do to make a chick fall in love with him is just walk somewhere with his fucking shirt off.
Me too.
Amen.
Yeah. Me and Superman have a lot in common.
No, chicks fall in love with you when you put your shirt back on.
That's a good one. Now,
chicks fall in love with me when I put on my winter jacket and snow pants.
Now, what's great about this series, though, is that Harada and Sting, they're really going at it, and it's kind of you don't know who the good guys are. You want to root for both of them, and there's not really a hero or a villain, and that's what I enjoy about it. This also introduces one of the only overweight female superheroes ever, Faith, who got her own solo run later on, and she's actually a really good hero, and she's got the ability to fly. And they don't, like, make fun of her. It's one of the only, like, overweight characters that it's not, like, overly cartoony or making fun of them or making it as a gag. You know, she's a legit badass superhero. So that's another thing that the book does really well. And I think it tells a lot of good stories. The first five issues I've really enjoyed, and I can't wait to see it keep happening. And I'll keep covering it on the show eventually. All right. We're going to get out of here in a little bit, but first we'll do our character spotlight, Dougie.
Okay.
Who is it on?
I believe it is on Fred G. Sanford.
Of Sanford and Son.
Yes.
Portrayed by the one and only Red Fox.
Correct. So this character, we kind of bounce back and forth between, like, who to do. It was either going to be him or Archie Bunker, who, by the way, they're basically the same type of character, except for one is Caucasian and the other one's African American.
Yes.
And
the other one's kind of a bigger piece of shit. No offense, but Archie Bunker is a classic, but kind of known for having fucked up views.
Yeah. Oh, he loved Trump today.
Yeah.
But, like, Fred Sanford, I always found him to be kind of funny because, like, he'd always do this thing where if he got upset, he'd call out to his wife, clutch his chest, be like, Elizabeth, I'm coming to join you, honey.
Yeah.
And, you know, you make fun of me for overreacting and overacting. But this guy, I mean, he's funnier, but... But yeah, like, I never really watched it. I mean, this show obviously was in the 70s, but I didn't really start watching it until probably about 2002, 2003 when it would be on TV Land. And I watched it for a couple of years. I had the first season on DVD, but then afterwards it's just like, you know what? This, I kind of just grew out of it.
But it's a great classic show.
Yeah. Well, it's one of those classic shows that, like, you wouldn't be able to do that shit today. The stuff that would come out of his mouth.
Yeah, I mean, because, you know, we talked about Archie, but he was kind of prejudiced himself in some things, like the way he referred to the Puerto Rican neighbor.
Yeah. Yeah, he didn't like the... Basically, he was... You know, Archie Bunker was racist against everybody, right?
Yeah.
Fred Sanford was also racist against everybody except for his own people. And even some of his own people he didn't like.
Yeah.
And it was like, again, he was, I mean, I always thought Archie Bunker was funnier, but like there'd be certain times where like Fred Sanford, I remember this one episode where they're getting held up by a guy and Fred Sanford comes walking into the living room and sees the guy with the gun and he goes, "Great day in the morning." And then he's just like, and like the guy, because I think like Fred and Lamont accidentally took like the guy $70,000 or something.
I mean, Fred's classic though. He loves Godzilla movies.
Yeah.
He loves Ripple, Cheap Wind.
Yeah.
He loves to spend his time watching TV.
Right.
He's hilarious. And, you know, the father-son relationship he has with his son is nice.
Yeah.
So, I mean... Definitely check out Sanford and Son. Fred Sanford's the man. It brought Red Fox into prominence, right?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, he ended up, Red Fox unfortunately passed away in the 80s, but... but yeah, like, he was... Again, in the 70s, like, Sanford and Son actually was, like, one of the highest-rated sitcoms on CBS for almost the entire run.
Yeah, it used to get $25 million.
Yeah.
Holy shit. $20 million.
And that time slot that they had, and this, again, was back before ABC ever did TGIF.
Exactly.
But, yeah, like, when you have a show, and again, it was very easy back in that, back in those times, because, you know, that's when sitcoms were really starting to, you know, take the lead. It was back in those times where it was not that hard to get a sitcom to have, like, you know, between 10 to 25 million viewers. As a matter of fact, they actually considered, like, back in the day, Dan, they used to consider shows that had under 10 million viewers a failure.
Under 10 million?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
That's crazy. It's a lot of people.
I mean, wrestling now wishes they could get 10 million. They wish they could get 1 million.
Yeah. Exactly. With that being said, I think we're going to head home. But we'll be talking more about Sanford and Son in the future, probably.
Yeah. There's a lot to get into with that. A lot of the stuff, you know, we talk about. Obviously, your Harbinger, you know, we'll revisit that when you want to do the other other issues or whatever.
Yeah.
Mighty Ducks, obviously. That's another one we get to, you know, always get back into Scooby-Doo. So we're just kind of scratching the surface with a lot of the stuff that we're doing.
Exactly.
Scratching the surface, scratching my ass.
And we will see everybody next week. Have a good one, Doug.
You too, bud. Enjoy the movie.